Welcome to the Peace Apostolic Ministries podcast. For more information about Peace or other resources from John Alley, visit peace.org.au. If you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do so at our website, peace.org.au/give, or use the donate button in our app. Thanks for joining with us today. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Most of you met Chuck, and we just loved Chuck. And the more often he came, the more he was loved, you know? But Chuck's got a replacement. In fact, in some ways, I'm Chuck's replacement, and in some ways, Bob is. Because, you know, we both walked with him as spiritual father. But Chuck had a network. He called it Apostolic Resource Ministries, based in Indiana. And Bob inherited the task of not only taking over that network, but really taking it into another whole, you know, second generational vision. So, Bob, you're much loved in my heart, and you were here 5 years ago, and many of the people, you know, loved you, remembered you, appreciate you very much, respected you. So I want you to know, you're kind of known in the house to a lot of the people already held high in their hearts. Let's put our hands together. Give Bob a big welcome. And if it was Chuck, he'd say, all right, everyone stand up, turn around, hug three people.
Yeah, Chuck would have everybody do that, but I don't want to take up any more time because I realize since I've been here how important tea is. And I'm afraid if I go too long, it'll cut into that, and the crowd could turn hostile. I don't know. But I'm in church a couple of weeks ago, and I don't know why this happens to me, but I'm thinking about a movie that I'd seen. It's a movie about the President of the United States and mainly about the airplane that he flies on called Air Force One. It's called Air Force One. It's very special, got all the bells and whistles and a lot more than that, very expensive, and it's designed specifically to safely transport the President of the United States. That's its only function, is for his transportation and for him to be connected and protected and all that sort of thing. So in the movie, some bad guys get on board the plane while the president and his family are on there, and their agenda is that they have their leader is in a prison in some European country, and so they're holding the president of the United States and his family hostage. They're killing people off. And they're trying to get the president to make a call to get this guy out. That's their whole objective in this thing. A lot of American shoot 'em ups kind of stuff's going on. But in the end, the bad guys get subdued. Air Force One, but Air Force One is badly damaged as a plane. And it's about to crash into the ocean. And a rescue attempt is made, another plane comes alongside, and they're trying to get people off of this Air Force One onto this other plane. It's all very dramatic, and then it cuts back to Washington, D.C., where all the people are in the war room, and all the cabinet members there, and the vice president, and everything, because we don't know if he's alive, is he dead, what is it? And finally, all the tension is building, and finally, the silence is broken and said, this is Air Force One, we now have the president. Now, the deal is, any aircraft, any military aircraft that the President of the United States is on is Air Force One, Marine One, Navy One, Army One. It doesn't make any difference. If he's on it, that becomes number one. It is his presence that changes an ordinary thing to an extraordinary thing. And this other plane was not the billion-dollar thing that this real Air Force One was. It's just like a troop transport kind of a plane, very common, no amenities in it, but because he's on it, it's Air Force One. And of course, when people heard this is Air Force One, they all knew what that meant. He is alive and he is safe. And so, you know, that's a great story, I guess. So the point being is that as I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about this movie at church, and all of a sudden the Lord said, that's the way it is with me. My presence transforms the ordinary into the extraordinary. It is my presence that has the capacity to be able to do that. When Jesus came to earth, His presence changed the structure from an ordinary planet to an extraordinary realm. And so we see in the Bible things like that, you know, don't be afraid, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is near you. And there was a reason why he could say that is because this was not just earth anymore. The realm of the king and the realm of the kingdom was wherever the king is. So I'm thinking, well, this is all good. I'm sure there's more of a point to all of this than that. And so the Lord began to speak to me about some things. When he came, geographically, the earth is just exactly the same as it was. You know, the Great Lakes were there, and the mountains were there, and fish, and everything. It's like nothing really on the earth geographically or physically changed. But spiritually, it became the realm of the king because of his presence. And so I kept thinking a little bit more about this. I've got a couple scriptures I want to look at rather quickly. Matthew chapter 12, verse 28. And Jesus says this these words, "But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you." Surely it has. The exercise of authority over lesser powers is a demonstration of a greater kingdom, right? That we're in charge, we conquered you, therefore we are the greater and you are the lesser. So everything on this earth is a lesser kingdom. And whether that's media, movies, government, business, whatever it is, everything like that is a lesser kingdom than the kingdom of God. So just trying to follow in this, Mark chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand." And of course, I know growing up in church, I would hear things like that. I think the kingdom of God is at hand. What does that mean? The kingdom? I think what he's trying to say is, it's here. Well, I'm trying to tell you, it's here. You know, what have you got on hand in your kitchen? You're talking about what you've got actually in your kitchen. And that's the way that it is with this. The kingdom of God is here. It's at hand. And it's available to people. And he says, repent and believe the gospel. Jesus is identifying the season that we are in. He's telling these people, this has just been plain earth before. It's different now. This is a transformational moment in the history of the earth when Jesus came to this earth because his presence transformed the earth from being ordinary to being extraordinary. So I'm liking this stuff as I'm thinking about this. Luke chapter 17, verse 20, 21. And so now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered and he said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here' or 'See there,' for indeed the kingdom of God is within you." It's not just at hand, it's closer than that. Now, I realize in my human brain, I have trouble with these kinds of thoughts. I mean, this because some people say, "You're out of your mind." I'm saying I'm trying to be out of my mind because I want to get into the mind of Christ. I need to be out of my mind because that's where my problems are many times. But I'm trying to get a hold of what this is. The kingdom of God is within you. The presence of the king brings his kingdom and changes an ordinary earthen vessel into a temple of the presence of God. That is in the Bible, right? What's the difference? Well, physically, I don't change when I give my life to Christ, but actually something transformational does happen. When anybody surrenders their life to Christ, invites Christ to come into their life, something that you're inviting the king in, well, I become Air Force One because, well, something greater is here than the President of the United States. It's the King of Glory, the King of Kings, and the President of Presidents is now is resident within me. And I now become a temple of the living God. My body. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? And it's like, no, I don't. I guess the reason Paul asked questions like that, because we have trouble as human beings understanding this, because we still feel very human. We still have flaws. We still have thoughts we shouldn't be having sometimes. And it's like, God, are you sure about this? This is like almost too good to be true. And of course, growing up, I always heard, you know, my dad say things like, if it sounds too good to be true, it's probably not. Well, everything about the kingdom of God is too good to be true. But it is true. I need to accept that. Another scripture, Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 1 and 2, said, then he called his 12 disciples together and he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. The subject here in this summit is about the authority that we have, and is it apostolic? Is it for everybody? We're trying to discern those things. Here we see Jesus has called his 12 disciples. He didn't say they were at this point where here's 12 apostles. Now they were in the making, but they are his disciples, and he's giving them authority, which also tells me this. However this all works out, by the time we get through here and John is able to straighten us all out on this subject, that what we will all need to know is whatever authority anybody has is a delegated authority. So it's not of ourselves anyway. It's something that's been given to us. And yet, on this point of apostolic authority, and even what Lloyd was just saying a few moments ago, that there is an extension of authority that comes from Christ through an apostle to somebody who's willing to receive it, that's a benefit to him, which then benefits other people, the people he's ministering to, that they get set free and things begin to change. And this chain of events, and that's why this idea of being connected together is so important, because it is about, these were the people that were hanging out with Jesus, these 12, and then they're just one day says, okay, I'm giving you authority to do this stuff. And they went out and they did it. Of course, later on, as a parting gift, Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And for the second time in the history of mankind, God breathed and man became. For the second time. At creation, Adam and Eve, and now, new Adam. Same thing happened because what came out of God now went into the body, into the lungs, and into the being of us as human beings, and it transformed us from being just natural people to being supernatural people. One other scripture I want to look at about this, Luke chapter 10 and verse 8 and 9. Jesus said, whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. So what he had brought when he came to this earth, they now carried. When Jesus came to this earth, he came with authority, he came with power. And as a matter of fact, if you remember, after the cross, the first words, some of the first words that came out of the mouth of Jesus Christ were this: all authority in heaven and now in earth has been given to me. Now you go. And by him saying you go, he's saying, with what I've got, I'm giving that. I'm giving it back to you for the second time, just like I did in the garden. Go and take dominion. And we gave it away as human beings. We gave it away when we submitted to another voice. And it still works like that. We shouldn't be giving away our inheritance, which is the right to represent God and to be his children, to be his family here on this earth. This is all big stuff, I guess, but the more I think about it, the greater I appreciate who Christ is and what he's done for me. As I see it in all this, our issue is our perception. Our problem is we don't see things right. We sing songs about give us more light, we need to see, we want to see Jesus. I agree with all that stuff, but the question is, do we see Jesus rightly? I knew when I was growing up, I didn't see Jesus rightly at all. He was somewhere between the Tooth Fairy and the Wizard of Oz guy. You know, he just gave me anything I wanted because he's just a good guy and he loves me so much and I'm so wonderful. to the times when you get into religious stuff, and then it was about, you know, the lightning and the thunder, and how dare you speak to me? And so I'm confused about who he is as a kid. I'm growing up, I'm trying to figure out, because some people are preaching this, some people are preaching that, and we're trying to find out, where is the real Jesus? And you have to go back, read the book. How did he treat people? How did he respond to people? How did he show love to people? When I read the Word of God, he said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You want to know what God's like? Look right here. And you see, we need to be the kind of people who have so much Christ in us, the same thing can be said here, that we bring proper representation to the earth of who God is. Forgiving, blessing, encouraging, powerful, almighty, comforting, all those kinds of things. He is that, and a whole lot more, that's for sure. So, next question, not only how do we see him, but the harder one, I think, is how do we see ourselves? John tells these great stories that God shows him, he prays about this, and I'm sure there are people sitting there thinking, wow, I can't see myself doing that. That's the problem. You can't see right. You're not seeing right. How do I see that? Here's the principle that I've come to appreciate. Whatever we can perceive, we can receive. But I have to be able to perceive it first in order for me to be able to receive it. I knew lots of scripture. I grew up with a Bible and said things like, God heals people. I saw back in my day, I saw on television people like Oral Roberts and Catherine Kuhlman, and they prayed for people, and apparently people got healed. I had no perception that I could ever do that. I didn't deny that it was true, that it was in the realm of possibility. It just probably wasn't possible for me. I couldn't see myself right. I wasn't seeing correctly. And it wasn't until, you know, God had to do a work in my life in many different little ways and here to finally the place, you can do this too. He sent them out to heal the sick, raise the dead, and all that sort of thing. And I'm sure when they did, they said, oh, that's great. Hope we don't run into any dead people. You know, gee, I'm not sure whether this thing will really work or not. Hope it's like headaches or I pray for that. Not cancer, though. Oh, no, not that. I mean, we're all, as human beings, we have to deal with ourselves and our backgrounds. Somebody has made the statement, he said, you know, there has to be a learning curve, you know, that's how you kind of learn things like this. Another guy said, I think there needs to be an unlearning curve for a lot of us because our biggest problem is not what we know, it's what else do we know. I know that God will, I'm just not sure I can do it or I'm supposed to do it or... And so all these doubts and questions, and therefore the body of Christ, since they're not functioning the way it's in the authority that it's supposed to have. So my understanding, though, is that the presence of King Jesus in our lives makes us the carrier of the kingdom. And when we show up, there's divine possibilities in all sorts of things, in all kinds of settings. It's not because of how great we are, it's because of how great he is. That's what it's about. A number of years ago, I heard Apostle John speak about Acts chapter 20, verse 28 through 31, because we're talking about this subject of apostolic authority. And I've never had thought about it this way before. Therefore, take heed to yourselves, to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. And the question was and still is, what does the presence of an apostle bring? To me, this is one of these real clear ones for me. Because the church still has people in it. It still has a worship team in it. Still has prayers in it. Has all sorts of things. The thing that is loosing the calamity is the absence of this anointing, this gifting, this grace. He said, after my departure, I foresee this is what's going to happen. And it's like, I'm sure this has happened other places, it certainly happened with us, that in our early days, before I got onto things, how we're supposed to operate, when I would leave our church, stupid stuff happened. Whenever I wasn't there, people would do things they wouldn't do when I was there. And I didn't realize how much, I guess I was very intimidating. Maybe that's what it was. Or maybe it was the anointing of God that just held things back. And the two things he talks about here that an apostolic anointing does is that it protects the sheep from the outside wolves, but it also corrals the chaos that goes on in the family infightings. That's what he talks about in these two things right here. That's two things I think that an apostolic grace and anointing can do for God's people. And of course, when I think about that, all that is, it creates an environment when great things can happen. Because we're not fighting about stuff and we're not worried about visitors coming in and what's everybody's agenda, because it's just not happening. Therefore, some greater positive things can happen. So I'm thinking, yeah, this is great value. This is of great value to the body of Christ right here. This is a great thing. Those of you who've been called by God to serve the kingdom of God as apostles, I'm sure there's a number here, you carry an anointing that is of great value. Your great value to the people of God, whether they know it or not. Paul struggled at times in his ministry, and he said things like this, even though you love me less, I love you more. So there was not always a reciprocation of appreciation sometimes for the presence of an apostolic figure or person among a group of people. They didn't maybe always appreciate it, but there's benefits that we're receiving and accruing to us even when we're not aware of it. God's blessing us in some way. Maybe just keeping back the wolves, keeping them out of the sheep and all that sort of thing. But I think the real effectiveness, the value of apostolic leadership comes by the recognition of who and what is among us. Not just the person, but what do they carry? The grace that they carry. Jesus, in his own hometown, could do no mighty works. And it was not because he was not able to do mighty works, it's because they couldn't recognize him. They said, oh, look, it's Mary's boy. It's the carpenter's son. And so that's all they got. They got Mary's boy. They got the carpenter's son. If they could have seen the Son of God, then I think some greater things could have happened. Maybe grandma would have got healed. Maybe blind eyes would have come open. But not, it couldn't happen there because they couldn't. If you can't perceive it, you can't receive it. That's the kind of the agenda or the thought that I have about this stuff. Paul said things like this, that I may not be an apostle to everybody, but I am to you. I'm well aware in my community, I can go down to the Baptist church down there. I would never do this. You know, so, all right, I'm taking over your meeting. I'm an apostle. Like they'd say, get out of here. Get this clown off our property. Because it doesn't mean anything to them. I think they probably don't even believe in it. Because it is about relationships. And it's about what is perceived. And I'm sure as John has described different people here that God began to connect you. And all of a sudden, you look at somebody and you look at them so differently. It's like, what am I really seeing here? God, please fix my eyes to be able to see what you see so that I can receive what I need to receive. Because I've got to perceive it right so I can receive it right. So, to be clear, this is never going to be about how great we are. It's never going to be about that. It's about how great the grace of God upon our lives is. That's what this is always going to be about. And since I can't speak to all those who you are going to encounter in this room, it's probably tens of thousands of people who are affected by the people sitting in this room. Different countries, different places. And since I can't speak to all of those people, I'll just talk to you today a little bit. I want you to be encouraged about what it is that you carry. If you don't know, why don't you pray that little simple prayer? Jesus, would you show me what is it that I'm carrying? And help me to see the people around me in the right way. The people that you put me in relationship with, I want to value those relationships, and I want to draw strength from them, and I want to be a blessing in those kinds of relationships. Not just what can I get out of it, but what can we do together? That's the thing I think that we need to do. I heard the Lord say, since I've been here in Australia, we were praying the other night, and this is what I heard. The enemy of our souls has been dissing my servants. I don't know, that may be a term you're not familiar with. Do you know what dissing is? In slang in the United States, dissing basically is a short way of disrespecting. If you live in the hood, you diss somebody, you might get shot. You diss my car, you diss my woman, I'm killing you. I mean, this is a bad thing in our country. And they use this term all the time, that person dissed me. They disrespected me. And by definition of what does DIS stand for, it means this, having a negative or reversing force. And so today I think the Holy Spirit wants to deliver His choice servants, God, His servants, that's you and me, people like us, who have been dissed. Here's what I'm talking about. I can either be approved, but if I put diss on the front of it, I'm not approved anymore. And there are people that are fighting things in the spirit, maybe what other words that other people have said, things that have just been spoken over your life in some way that is robbing you. And the devil is dissing you. And I'm just here to say I've got three or four things just real quick I want to mention. And I heard the Lord say, I'm taking care of disappointment. Because God does not want you missing your appointments. When I'm disappointed, I have a tendency to draw back. I tried this, it didn't work, so therefore I don't do it anymore. I was disappointed. That's the devil dissing you. I'm going to tell you what, I believe everybody in here has divine appointments. We don't need to be missing our appointments. So we don't need disappointment in our life. Another one is discouraged. God wants His servants to be people of courage. Be strong in the Lord. Be courageous. But if I'm discouraged, the exact opposite is happening. I am not encouraged. I'm defeated in my mind, in my spirit. Discomforted. God's called us to peace and safety. And God just wants people to know today that He is the God of all comfort. He is that too. Disconnected. God wants there to be godly relations. Relationships are so important. Somebody told me a little phrase a while back, and it's just stuck in my mind, and that is that God does not hide things from us. He hides things for us. And sometimes He puts them in other people. And until I meet John Alley over here and Hazel, there's things that God has for me that if I'm disconnected from Him, I'm never going to get it. God's got it for me. I just have to make the connection so that what's good in Him can flow to me and what's good in me can flow to Him. So this whole thing about being disconnected is kind of an important thing because sometimes it's in those relationships that we, the good godly relationship we have that life flows to us. I really felt strongly about this, that there's somebody here today who feels very dishonored. You feel dishonored in your work, in your house, in your job, in your church, or some sort of you're just struggling with that thing. I'm saying here today, God's ready to cut this thing off because the Bible says this, those who honor God, He said, I will honor. And I'm going to tell you what, if you got the honor of God, you don't need the honor of anybody else. I don't care what everybody else thinks. As long as my Father thinks I'm doing okay, I'm doing okay. I'm fixed in that. I'm transfixed in that. I'm changed by that because I'm being honored by God. But sometimes we are struggling with, I just feel like I'm being dishonored. And that's the devil's work. Distracted. Well, God wants us all on track. So if I get distracted, I'm not on track anymore. He has a plan and a purpose about your life, and I want you to know, whatever you're thinking about, it's bigger than that. How do I know that? I read the Bible. God's able to do abundantly, amazingly, outstandingly more than what you can ask or think. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. Well, if that's true, then wherever I'm thinking, it's probably supposed to be something bigger than that. And it takes a little while for that to soak in, too. The enemy of the kingdom of God works diligently, I think, to distract men and women of God and keep me off track. And finally, displaced. I know Jesus said, if I go, I will go to prepare a place for you, but I'm not thinking it's just about in heaven. I think he's made me a place here. There's a place I'm supposed to be, a relationship I'm supposed to have, a family that I'm supposed to be a part of. And if I'm a displaced person, I mean, there's people from different countries of the world, and I know a lot of places in the world, there's people who've been run out of their country, and they live in somebody else's country, and they have no property. This life is a struggle because they have been displaced in their life. And I'm going to tell you what, the same picture is true for some Christian people that I know who the devil has run off. They've listened to lies. They believed something that was wrong, and they got out of the place that God had for them. And when that happened, then they just became a displaced person. That's the devil dissing you. I'm telling you, today is the day the Lord spoke to me. Today is the day for people to get free from this stuff. So I want us to stand, if you would, stand right now. We're going to pray. And for you who feel displaced, God wants to not only honor you, He has a place for you, and He wants you to know you are needed and you are necessary. You are needed and you are necessary in your place. God will do great things when you're in place. Great things can happen in a church when people are in their place. Things don't go as well as they could go when we're out of place and we've been displaced some way. Nobody can take your place. That's the thing you need to understand. So there's no competition anymore. It's not about, well, they're going to get to do. Let them do whatever God wants them to do. They're not getting your place. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you today for my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm praying over this assemblage today, those that are here and even those that they represent, Father, that we're the enemy of our souls has been dissing this group of men and women of God. And I take authority right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as a believer in Christ and as one who you've spoken to on this subject, and I exercise authority in Jesus' name. I take authority over this dissing work that the enemy has brought upon the lives, the minds, the souls, the bodies of these men and women of God. And Father, in Jesus' name, I'm asking, Father, that you would just move among us, heal places that need to be healed, get us back on track, help us to receive that sense of comfort, of peace, of honor that you've already spoken over our lives. And I speak it again in your name today, that these people are on track, that they are not displaced, they are not disconnected, that, Father, that they have divine connections, divine purpose, that there's great reasons for who they are and what they do. I take against that, stand against that dishonor, especially what you showed me. I take authority over that today in Jesus' name. I curse you. I command you to loose God's people, these choice servants who come to this conference, Father, for us to become able to be able ministers of the gospel without all the distractions and all the other things that the enemy tries to bring. And I release, Father, today in a house of peace, your peace. I release today by my faith, Father, encouragement, and I speak courage to every heart. I encourage this congregation today. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I speak fresh courage, your courage, Lord, of the King and His realm in our lives, realizing we have been transformed. We are not the same as we used to be. We are not just flesh and blood. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we are capable of anything you tell us that we can do. I thank you for helping us to get our minds renewed, to unlearn what needs to be unlearned, and to learn what we need to know. I release my faith today for great success in all this congregation. I pray this today by faith in Jesus' name. And Lord, we believe. We receive what we pray. We thank you for it. We honor you. Just lift your hands and begin to thank God for his goodness and his faithfulness. Just begin to tell God that you appreciate him and that all that he is, and that you're going to believe. You're not believing lies anymore. You're believing the truth. Only going to believe the truth. That you are the beloved of Christ. That you are the apple of his eye. That you are anointed men and women of God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for strengthening this assembly in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.